As you guys know, our pastor John and his family are on vacation. God willing, he'll be here next week. So you guys are stuck with me today. And I see some new faces. I would encourage you to come next week because he is a great teacher. And I'm sorry for you guys. You guys are with me this morning. But we'll get into God's Word. And the good thing about God's Word is if you open it, if you're willing to listen, he'll speak to you. Amen? How many of you guys, I want to ask you a couple of questions. How many of you guys have received a maybe wedding invitation or a birthday invitation? I think all of us, right? Sometime in your life? Yeah? Okay, another question. How many of you guys have not received a wedding invitation that you knew there was a wedding going on, maybe your friends, and you did not receive the invitation? Okay. It's kind of awkward, right? But we have these friends that are getting married maybe in a month and a half, and they're planning their wedding, and I think they're trying to do like a small wedding. And, you know, it was kind of awkward to talk to them about their wedding because we didn't know if we were getting invited. And, you know, how's the wedding going and plans and things like that. But last week, we made the cut. We got an invitation. So now it's like more comfortable, like, oh, yeah, so how's the wedding plans and everything? But anyways, that is us here. With the Lord, there's an open invitation for you guys. And it's not awkward because he doesn't, you know, prefers other people than you. It's an open invitation for all of us, first of all, to come and know him as our own Savior. But it doesn't stay like that. You know, he invites us to come and serve him, serve our body, the body of Christ, the church. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about this morning. Maybe most of us have received that invitation to come to know the Lord Jesus, but also to come and serve the Lord Jesus. We'll be in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. There'll be several verses that we'll be reading this morning. A little context before we start into the story. The Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is writing this book, this gospel. And he begins even from the beginning. He says, in the beginning was the Word. I mean, you know, the Word, Jesus. Even from the beginning, he was already there. So it talks about he's eternal, that Jesus is eternal. Verse 11, and the Word became flesh. And he came here to the earth. And then later in that chapter, John introduces John the Baptist. John is a witness. He came to prepare the way. He came to get people ready for Jesus' ministry here on earth. And we're going to pick up this story in verse 29. Again, we're going to be reading a few verses this morning. Verse 29, the next day, he, speaking of John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water. Again, this week, or, you know, in this story, we're going to see Jesus is going to be busy these days. Verse 29 says the next day. Verse 35, the next day. Verse 43, the next day. Chapter 2, verse 1, the third day. So we see that Jesus is getting his team ready for the ministry. So this is a busy week for Jesus. He says the next day, again, verse 29, he saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist points out Jesus as the Lamb of God. And this is the message of the Bible, the Lamb of God. We see this picture in the Old Testament so many times. Even from the beginning in Genesis, if you recall the story, when Adam and Eve, they sin and they fail, what does God do? He says in Genesis 3:21 that God made garments of skins to clothe them. So from the beginning, there was this picture of a sacrifice, this picture that this innocent animal had to die to cover the sins. In the Old Testament, we read it again in Genesis with Abraham and Isaac. You remember the story? He goes and God calls or asks Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And we see the story in Genesis 22. And Isaac tells his dad, well, we have the wood, we have the fire, everything's ready, but we don't have the animal. And what does Abraham say? He says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Even from the beginning, we see that this picture of the lamb or this animal pointing towards Jesus, who was going to be our perfect lamb, our perfect sacrifice, who would not only cover the sins, but would remove the sins. In the Old Testament, we read that, you know, these sacrifices were just a cover. But in the New Testament, with Jesus, he takes away the sin. Just like John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Again, just covers the sin. He removes the sin. When did this happen? And on the cross, when Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. It has been paid. So now, through Jesus, we have eternal life. Through Jesus, we can have eternal life with him. The debt has been paid. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. Again, John speaking of Jesus, his eternal preexistence of Jesus. If we know the story, John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. But here, John says, well, he was before me, speaking of his preexistence, of Jesus being eternal. Interesting how he says, which I didn't know him. I myself, verse 31, did not know him. And the idea of this, I mean, because they were cousins, as you know, but the idea of this is I didn't know him as the Christ, as Jesus, as the Messiah. Verse 31, I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, verse 32, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness of this, that this is the Son of God. Again, John the Baptist was a witness, came as a witness. Here in the Gospel of John, we see John the Baptist as a witness. We don't see him as the John the Baptist. We see those in the other Gospels. But John was the witness. What is a witness? You know, a witness is someone that has seen something, right? If there's a witness in a car accident, well, we use that person as that they saw how it happened, you know. And that witness is, you know, supposed to say the truth, what they saw. So John says, I am the witness. I bore witness. I saw the Holy Spirit as a dove come and descend over Jesus. And he is the Son of God. The next verses, that's where will be the rest of the message. Just want to kind of give a little background, little context of the story. Again, the next day, verse 35, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked, as he walked by, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." These two disciples, we only know of one, who is Andrew. John the Baptist, these two disciples that he's talking about. One of them is Andrew, and later we're going to talk about him a little bit. Verse 36, and he looked at Jesus as he walked. I like that, as he looked at Jesus. John the Baptist looks at Jesus, and what does he do? He points people towards Jesus. He points his own disciples to Jesus. Who do you guys have your eyes on, you know? Are your eyes on Jesus, who will never fail you, who will never disappoint? Or your eyes are on Pastor John? On me? No. Please don't. I'm not perfect. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll tell you a lot of stories. No. But, you know, none of us are perfect. The only one that will never fail, the only one that will never disappoint will be Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on him in everything that we do. Maybe there's plans for the future. Let's seek the Lord in that. Maybe there's problems at your house or home. I don't know. Let's seek the Lord. Keep our eyes on him. John the Baptist says, again, verse 36, and he looked at Jesus and he said, behold, look, the Lamb of God. Again, John points out to Jesus. And that's what we should be doing as Christians, as believers. It's not look at me, look how great of a drummer I am, because I'm not. Or look, I don't know, great worship. Or look at me, a great teacher. No, not look. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. Let's point to Jesus. You know, bring our families, tell our families about Jesus. Our neighbors, our coworkers. Let's point to Jesus. Later on, John will say, he must increase, but I must decrease. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Even in my own time, when I'm lazy, when I'm at home, what do I do with my time? Watch soccer? I do, actually. But is that my whole time? Is that what I spend my whole time? You know, I'm not perfect. I'm working on this. Even our own time, let's have God increase in us. Verse 37, the two disciples heard him say this. And what did they do? And they followed Jesus. Again, these two disciples are John's disciples for now. One of them is Andrew. And they follow Jesus. Again, John encourages them to follow Jesus. He's like, don't look at me anymore. He is the one. He is the Lamb of God. And I love this, verse 38. Jesus turned and saw them. Oh, I love that. I was, yesterday when I was finishing up my study, I was trying to imagine this scene. You know, maybe there were more people around them, you know. Maybe there was a lot of people. Maybe people were selling things, or I don't know. But what Jesus turns around and sees them. Sometimes we might think, well, God is probably too busy over there. Maybe he's doing other stuff that he doesn't care about me. But you know what? He sees you. I'm reminded of the story of Peter. If you know him, you know, right before Jesus was betrayed and you know, Peter goes, well, I will never do that to you. Even if these guys leave you, I will never do that to you. And then later on in the story, we read that, you know, Peter denies Jesus three times. But I like how in the book, in the Gospel of Luke, when we're reading this story, Luke 22, he says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Even in the midst of his suffering, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And I know, I don't think he was looking at Peter like saying, I told you, you disappoint me. No, I believe he looked at Peter with compassion. Just like he turned and he saw these disciples, he saw them with compassion. That's how he sees us too, with compassion. Again, Jesus meets us right where we are. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to say, well, before I come to the Lord, I have to be perfect. Before I come to the Lord, I have to do this and that. No. He meets you right where you are, and he has compassion. Verse 38 again, second part. He saw them following him, and he said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? What are you seeking? I was imagining to yesterday, you know, if it was probably me, or, I don't know, Paul is not here, then I can talk about him, right? If he sees people following, he'll be like, what do you want? You know, kind of with his gun, because we know Paul and they're, you know. But Jesus sees and is like, what do you want? What are you seeking with compassion? And that question still asks today for us. What are we seeking? What are we looking for? Maybe some of us that don't know Christ, maybe we're looking for the truth. Maybe we're looking for peace. Maybe a father's love, maybe. He's asking you this question this morning. What are you seeking? Or for us that have been walking with the Lord for a few years, you know, maybe we've gone, you know, I don't know, comfortable and just, you know, I know the Lord and that's it. No. He's asking you, what are you seeking? Maybe he's calling you to serve in a new ministry. You need wisdom? Ask him. Maybe you're looking for, you know, strength. Well, ask him. He's asking you, what are you seeking? What do you need? And what do they ask? What did a disciple say? I want to win the lottery. Oh, no. That's the wrong version. Sorry. No, just kidding. You know, if that, you know, what did they say? Well, I want a new car. I want a big house with lots and lots of rooms. A big table. Oh, that's a song, right? I was like, who knows the song? It's like, okay. No, what do they say? They ask, where are you staying? That's what they say. We want to be with you. We want to learn from you. Where are you staying? Verse 39. And he said, I'll text you my Airbnb address. No. He said, come and see. Come and you will see. Just like the title this morning. Come and see. I'm not going to tell you where I'm going. This is what Jesus says. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do with your life. Just trust me. Come and see. Come follow me. You know, for me, it would be like, Lord, I want to know what you have for my life. I want to know what the next month's going to happen with me, what I'm going to be doing, what next year has for me. But that's not how the Lord works. He says, come follow me, and then you'll see what's the next step. Maybe the next step is serve. Help out with the youth. Amen. No one. Maybe, I don't know, help with security. Greeters. You know, every once a month, the church is in charge of a homeless ministry. You know, maybe that's the next step. And after that, only the Lord knows. You know, my wife and I, we've been here a year and a half at this church. It's been such a blessing to be here. We feel at home. Even from the first week, we felt the love that you guys have. But before that, you know, we were a different church, and we felt that the Lord was calling us out. We didn't know where we were going. We were part of this other church, and you know, we were serving and loving on people and loving ministry, and we felt that the Lord was saying, no, it's time to move. And it was a hard decision, you know. We had friends and family in Christ. And for 6 months, I think, or a year, 6 months we were visiting different churches, and then another 6 months we were part of this other church. But the Lord kept, you know, putting our hearts in our hearts discovery. You know, we became friends with Pastor John. Even when we weren't even part of this church, we became friends. We went to a soccer game, Real Salt Lake. Yeah. Nobody likes soccer, okay? Yeah. No, we went even though we weren't part of this church. But the Lord has a way to work in our lives. And we're here. You know, throughout those 6 months that we were part of this other church, we still had discovery in our hearts. And we're glad we're here. We're glad that we listened to him. You know, we didn't know what was the next step. And now we're here. And we don't know what the Lord has next year or the next month. Let's trust in the Lord. Where are you staying? Verse 39. He said, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, about 4 p.m. Again, man, I don't like that answer. Come and see. I'm not going to tell you what's going on next month. I want to know what's going on. Verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Again, Andrew, we don't know a lot about him. We know a few things, but when we hear about Andrew, he's also what? Bringing people to Jesus? You know, later on he's going to bring this boy with, I always get this story confused, so I have to read my notes, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I always do the other way. But, you know, he brings people to Jesus. Us, we have a great opportunity in a few weeks. Summer Fest. Let's be Andrews. And I don't know how I would say the name Andrew in female. Andrew, I don't know. But let's be Andrews. You know, let's bring people to Jesus. We have a great opportunity in a few weeks. Bring our neighbors. Bring our family. Our friends. The neighbors are on here. Let's do it. Let's bring people to Jesus. What does Andrew do? He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. It's here the one we've been waiting for. He brings his own brother. And later on, as we know, Simon Peter will be one of the church leaders. But Andrew was the one who brought him. It's interesting how, you know, Andrew is identified as Simon Peter's brother. He didn't, you know, I feel like Andrew was under Peter's shadow, you know. How would you like to be like, oh yeah, Elizabeth, David's sister. Yeah, I know her, you know. You know, or I don't know. But I feel like Andrew didn't care. He's like, I'm bringing my brother. The one that we've been waiting for, the Messiah, is here. And he found his brother. Again, Simon Peter, and he said, we found the Messiah. Verse 42, and we're going to be ending. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Yeah, you're this person now. But now in the Lord, we are this other person. Us as Christians, as believers, we should have a BC, before Christ, life. You know, as Christians, we should be given fruit. You know, we should have a before and after Christ story. You know, I was blessed to be born in a Christian home. I think it was last week that Pastor John was saying, like, oh, I kind of mentioned a little bit about, like, having a boring testimony, because he also grew up in a Christian home. And I was like, yeah, me too. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. you know, went to church almost every day. Yeah, every day. Except for probably Thursday, I don't know. But, you know, it wasn't until I moved to Utah, which was the end of 2005, when Jesus came real to me. You know, I always tell, you know, all my life until then, I was just playing church. And maybe to me, it might seem, well, it's a boring testimony. You grew up in a Christian home. No, but the Lord changed my life. You know, it's never too late for the Lord to reach you. You know, it's never too late to bear fruit, just like the God's word says. So I would encourage you this morning, or this afternoon, morning still, that, you know, follow Jesus in our life, at work. Let's follow Jesus. Amen? Let's be Andrew, and let's bring people in a couple of weeks to the summer fest. Amen? All right, everybody said amen, so you guys said yes, you're agreed. Okay, so that's good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this short message. Lord, but we know that, Lord, when we open your word, Lord, you speak to us. If we're willing to listen and to open our hearts and our minds, Lord, you speak to us. So, Lord, as we close this service, I pray that you just bless our time, Lord. Thank you again, like we saw earlier today. Thank you for being that perfect sacrifice that takes away my sin. Lord, that provides a way for me to have life. That provides, Lord, life with you. And Lord, I pray if someone doesn't know you here as their Savior, I pray that today will be the day. That today will be the day of salvation. That they would come to know you, Lord. And I also pray for those that we've been probably been walking with you for a while. And maybe we've gone comfortable and just, Lord, I pray that you would stir in our hearts to know you more. To spend more time with you. To serve you and to serve others. And again, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.